The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Kevin is here, Kevin Byrne.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Kevin. Kevin, of course, is retired Lieutenant Colonel and airport and safety and security expert, auditor as well. Kevin, we want to talk once again about Boeing.
We do. It's some good news and some bad news.
What's the good news?
The good news is that in 2023, last year, their orders increased by 30%. And I looked up on the way in here the actual order list they have, and it's quite outstanding. You know, they are a successful manufacturer and have been, but they've hit problems. The 737, we like to talk about that. There are 5,000 on order, and they're making something like 37 a month. That's just over one a day. So how many years, do the maths, would it take to produce all these things unless they can double the numbers they make, and they haven't got the permission?
And of course, their problem then is trying to keep their standards of production up, and that's where the whistleblower we're going to talk about in a moment comes in. But the 737, are they happy now they have licked all the problems?
No, not quite. Because the Federal Aviation Authority is the regulator, and they were told numerous times by the National Transportation Safety Board, who of course examine air accidents, that they do boat accidents as well, by the way, like the one in Baltimore recently. But their department said, we're very surprised you don't have a permanent presence on the final assembly lines in the Boeing factories. And that was a strange one. And they have now, because the local branch has been told to move in there and do these things. They took it on face value to some extent, because Boeing had been making such good aircraft for so long. They took their eyes off the ball to some extent.
But you kind of have to trust manufacturers.
Not
a small degree, to a very large degree.
Very much so.
No matter what it is. I mean, we step into our motor cars and we presume that everything has been done properly.
Except for the case of Toyota. Remember, the airbags had to be checked on all the Corollas or whatever model it was, and there was 3 million made of those like that. So you trust it until something goes wrong. There are, in a small aircraft, you might have 300,000 spare individual parts. On an A380, it's over 4 million. That's the big double-decker aircraft. So you're talking about people who supply them.
Now, some of them would be duplicate parts. Like you've got 300 seats.
Exactly. That's 300. That's the whole point.
But each one of those seats might have multiple components.
And they're supplied in boxes, if you know what I mean, as is the avionics, as are the wirings, as are the engines and the tires and hydraulics. So you're expecting those people to deliver the specification that you want and need time and time again.
So your supply chain, you've got to not alone have the FAA sitting on the assembly line, but you've got to make sure you've got some sort of auditing all the way back.
And that's what the FAA said to Boeing. You haven't gone down and checked the lines that are supplying you, and you should at least do the audits on a basis that is, you know, certifiable. Because this came to a head in 2021, just a couple of years ago. I hadn't realised that until yesterday, that they had deferred the prosecution. They had an agreement with the Department of Justice after the Boeing Maxes crashed, killing 346 people, which we discussed a couple of times. They did a deal, paid $2.5 billion that they would not be prosecuted, provided they looked very closely at their system of auditing. And now they're saying this whistleblower has, you know, hit the nail on the head, so to speak, and said it hasn't happened in the last.
It hasn't happened. They didn't do what they were supposed to do.
And are not doing it.
Now, we are not talking about the 737 in terms of the latest whistleblowing. We're talking about the larger wide-bodied aircraft.
We are. And for example, the 767 had huge supply chain difficulties. It's only gone back into delivery now. There are 100 of those on order, which is significant enough at the cost they charge. And then you've got the 777, which, as you know, is the biggest twin-engined aircraft in the world, highly successful, very economical, and there's 500 of those on order, which surprised me. So there's still a huge yearning for larger aircraft.
Now, obviously, they can't land at every airport because, you know, the position of the doors, the height of the doors,
all of that
is different to the standard. I mean, Ryanair depend on one aircraft coming in and everything being...
Exactly right. Yes. Yeah. And that, but mind you, we also have the 787 Dreamliner. And that was a game changer in many ways, Pat.
I'm going to have a call coming in from a mystery number, which I can't figure out what the hell it is, because it ain't one of my friends. Anyway, we just parked that there for the moment. So this whistleblower has said that there will be a structural problem as time moves on.
I found out some very interesting things on the way in just by a bit of research. The 787, which I was just going to mention, is the carbon fiber aircraft. That had huge problems when it came in because it was a new type like that. It's not made of metal mostly. It's made of the carbon fiber composites, as you will. I love it because the windows are higher. I can actually look out more carefully. They're bigger. And I mentioned before, in a storm of the wings bend, they bend because they're made not of metal but of carbon fibre, so they're designed to go through 2.5 metres at the wingtip. So it looks as if it's flapping on takeoff or landing or in turbulence. But for that reason, it's designed to last 25 years and will not be, time expired from that point of view. But they're scrapping two of them already.
Why?
10 years old, they were left in storage after Norwegian Airlines went sort of semi-bankrupt and were restructured. They're in Scotland. It's cheaper to scrap them for the spare parts than it is to actually repair them and put them on a major overhaul.
But if they're just parked, what is going wrong? What's deteriorating?
Everything. Yeah, the water gets into them and the engines must be run. If you park an aircraft, you're supposed to roll it around and start it up every 4 weeks or so. You're supposed to move the tyres and brakes every 6 weeks and all that kind of thing. That wasn't done in Prestwick in Scotland, which is a very wet place, very damp. So not like the desert. The desert is a different place and you'll have aircraft there stored for years and repurposed and put it back into service. This wasn't the case. So they're the first 10-year-old aircraft I've come across that are being scrapped.
Okay. Now, the problem that this whistleblower says, he said the way the airframe has been constructed, that in time, now, that's multiple takeoffs and landings and the stresses associated with those multiple takeoffs and landings, that eventually will give rise to the point that they could break up in midair. Now, that's very sensational.
And Boeing have, of course, denied that kind of thing like that. When you have a notional value, like take a British aircraft, the BAC-111, used initially by Ryanair and indeed Aer Lingus and many others, that had a flight life of 40,000 hours. If you did a major overhaul, it went to 55,000. And in the end, you can actually get 65,000 out of it. Now, you'd have to, do a major overhaul and that kind of thing. Yeah. But aircraft are designed to be fail-safe, as I mentioned before, and they give you multiple takeoff and landings, many thousands of them. And to do that, at a major overhaul, you'll x-ray some of the stuff, you'll test the destruction, and you'll see, is this the point? So they're doing that now, I think, on some of the high-time aircraft to see, is what the whistleblower has said true to form? Yeah. And they're saying, no, it couldn't be, because it has huge implications. After all, there's 500 777s and there's 800 787s still to be made on order.
Okay, so how can they reassure themselves and other people? Because at the life of an aircraft, you'll have Ryanair, they buy brand new 737s. Then they move them on because they always claim to have the most modern
demand. Yes, there's a demand for their second-hand aircraft.
They buy them cheap anyway. They get a good deal and they don't lose too much money when they sell them because they bought so cheap. But they eventually end up in something maybe Asian or African airline
at the end
of their lives.
Yeah, Africa. And there's still life left in them, provided that the service history is known and they are, kept to the standards that are required. But some places, and I've come across this to my horror, don't do the same kind of servicing. For example, I was in a 737-500 in Shannon many years ago, which had been fully stripped, having come back from a lease like that. Everything was pulled out of it. And they said, we're stopping this work because we think there's a rodent in the actual bottom of the aircraft. So they have to stop and find it in case it eats, electronic components. But worse than that, they said, this is in for a respray. Boeing says you can repaint the aircraft 4 times before doing a full metal, refinishing, as you might do with a car. I said, guess how many coats we found on this aircraft? I said, I don't know, Tom. He said, 14. This aircraft was repainted 14 times. So there's a balance problem there. There's a weight problem. So that meant the aircraft was not maintained to the standard required of Western Europe or North America or whatever. So people do take shortcuts. Sadly.
Yeah, and yet they're not falling out of the skies, which tells us something about the integrity of the design.
Indeed, yes, indeed.
All right. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you,
Pat. Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport and Safety Auditor. Kevin, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.